fancy I stood by the shore one day of the beautiful murmuring sea. I saw the great crowds as they thronged the way of the stranger of Jersey. I saw how the man who was blind from birth in a moment was made to see. The lame were made whole by the matchless skill of the stranger of Galilee. His love of compassion, his word of love, they shall never forgotten be. When sin sick and helpless he saw me there, this stranger of Galilee, he showed me his hands and his riven sigh, and he whispered,
ah, yes, he whispered. I'll share more of that with you at the conclusion of this program. I want to tell you something. He is still not just the stranger of Galilee, but he's the Savior of the world. And he's doing today what he did when he walked those shores of Galilee. I can tell you he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the telecast, or the broadcast today, is a beautiful subject, keeping the Lord's Day sacred. Keeping the Lord's Day sacred. We're going to talk about the Lord's Day, the seventh day of the week for the believing church world, the Lord's Day, a sacred day. Could you go with me in your Bible and let's look at something from the scripture that is really quite overwhelming? Listen to me carefully, please. The book of John, St. John, chapter 20, the first day of the week. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down and looked, and he saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter from following him, and went in the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and notice, and he believed. He saw, and he believed. When did this happen? On the first day of the week. When was the Holy Spirit poured out? On the first day of the week. When did Jesus meet with his disciples? On different occasions in the book of Acts. On the first day of the week. It is wonderful to study the Bible. When you just take the Bible literal, that's all you got to do. Take the Bible literal and just believe what it says. And I'm here to tell you, you will have no trouble knowing what the truth is. You'll have no trouble knowing what the truth is. Now, another scripture in the book of Revelation. I always loved this one. The book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 10. The Bible says, now listen to me, listen carefully. The word of God is so mighty. Wrong book there. Listen carefully. I want you to hear what this holy book says. It's always most important. What does the Bible say? John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, John was on the Isle of Patmos. John was over there bursting rocks, they tell us. He was in exile. He was as in prison because of preaching this glorious word. And he was a man about 90 years of age. Do you hear me? About 90 years of age. And yet he was there on the Isle of Patmos, isolated because he would not quit preaching. And he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, the rest of that chapter, chapter 1 of Revelation, is one of the most magnificent chapters in the Bible. We see in that chapter the post-resurrected Jesus Christ. The Son of God, after his resurrection, after his ascension to heaven, after being glorified by the Father, after his name being elevated to be the one name that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess, that's the name Jesus. That's the name Jesus. In our Bible, over 800 times, the name Jesus. Oh, I'm gonna tell you, friend, it's a joy to worship this risen Christ. Now, when do we worship? What is the day of the church world? What is the day that we set aside for his kingdom? It is the Lord's day, which is the first day of the week. We're not under the Old Testament laws. We're under the New Testament grace. Now, we still keep the righteousness of the Old Testament, the great teachings of holiness and righteousness, the Ten Commandments, etc. We certainly live by the great commandments that God gave to his people. We're not talking about the law now. We're not talking about keeping the law and sacrificing animals and doing those things that relate to the keeping of the law. No, we're talking about keeping the law that relates to righteousness and godliness and purity. God's never had but one standard. From Genesis to Revelation, God has one standard, and you can name it simply with a simple little word, holiness. Holiness. That's the day. That's the day, and that's the standard, and that's the way we live. Now, to talk about the Lord's day is very important to me because it is a sacred day. I remember being saved 63 plus years ago. And I remember immediately there came this sense of my delight and my joy in going to the house of God on the Sabbath day. I've missed four or five times in all these 63 years. I've just been faithful. I go to God's house. I don't find reasons to be out of God's house. I go to God's house because it's a sacred thing. Now, I don't go to God's house just to keep laws. I don't go to God's house just because people expect me to go. I go because I want to go. I go because I've been converted. I've been born again. I've been made a brand new creature. I'm not the person I was before I came to Christ. I've been listening to some of Billy Graham's old sermons. Listen to one this week, preached in 1958. 58. I'd been saved 6 years then. I would have been 22 years of age. It was 58. And I was listening to it. And I'm telling you, he preached so powerful. I'm going to put that sermon on my Facebook page this week. I want everybody to listen. If you want to know what it really means to be a Christian and to be born again and to be saved, you listen to Billy Graham preach that sermon in 1958. Now, friend, that's what we've got to get back to, that old-fashioned gospel message, that old-fashioned gospel word. He was preaching on a Saturday night, and he let those people who he was inviting to the altar to know, you come here and get saved, and you be in God's house tomorrow. You be in God's house on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, on this seventh day in the New Testament church. Oh, friend, it is very important. Now, when I come to you today with this subject, I come asking you to join me in a full and free discussion of it. Now, I need you to hear me. for 3 or 4 weeks, we've had some disturbing, disconnected calls. Not disconnected, but disturbing calls. Somebody angry, somebody upset at me. And you need to know, when you call a communication program as this, you break a very serious law. And so I've been working this week to get things ready. Someone called last week, and I heard them clicking and doing something to the phone, and my phone went out. My screen on my phone went out, and I couldn't see where things were as it related to the telephone. And I've called my man, and he says, yeah, it's possible that someone can do that. We live in a crazy day. Well, we're keeping a record today. And anybody that calls us and your number doesn't show up on the screen, that means you may be a cell caller, and there may be people who call with unlisted numbers, and you will not be allowed to get through to me, okay? Unless my secretary calls you back and gets your number, you'll give her your number if your number's not on my screen, and they'll immediately call you and then put you into me. But we have to have a record of every call, because we have to put a stop to people who are vicious and evil and don't care about anybody but their own twisted mind, okay? We have no choice but to do that. I don't do it with glee. I do it out of responsibility. Now, let me tell you the things that we can talk about today. The day of rest, the day of worship, the Lord's Day. Would you say it with me? Would everybody out there simply say, if you're listening to this program or watching this program, the Lord's Day? Say it with reverence. The Lord's Day. Can you understand that? Now, that's what John called it. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Revelation 1 and 10. Now, if John the Revelator was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, that made that day very important. And this whole book of Revelation now came to John on the Lord's Day. Think about that now. The book of Revelation came to John on the Lord's Day. That's the day he saw all of these multiple visions and wrote them down for us and sent them to the churches that existed in that day, and of course became the book of Revelation in our present Bible. Isn't that beautiful? On the Lord's Day, John the Revelator saw all of these grand visions. I want to give you 7 things. 7 reasons the Lord's Day is sacred. 7 reasons, and I want you to remember these, and these will be in the booklet I'm giving today to every caller. I'm going to give this booklet to every caller, a booklet on the Lord's Day. And of course, I'm going to show you how it connects to the first fruit, to the great feast of Jehovah called the first fruits, the feast of first fruits, the third of the 7 feasts. I'm going to show you how it relates. I may not get to much of that in the discussion, but I'll give it to you in the booklet, okay? I'll give it to you in the booklet, and everybody who calls and will let us, we will freely, without any charge to you, give you a copy of this booklet on the Lord's Day. We want to educate you. We want the whole church world to come back to a sense of reverence for the Lord's Day. I'm calling the church. I want a Holy Ghost revival to sweep the church, not just this church where I pastor, but the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, everywhere that people will honor the Bible and honor Jesus Christ. I'm praying for a revival. Well, that revival can't come until the church gets back to keeping the Lord's Day holy. I'm here to tell you, if we don't keep the Lord's Day sacred, if we don't quit and separate our life on this 7th day from the world out there and all the things the world is doing, and come apart and be with the Lord and be with the things of God and give ourselves to Him, then we just can't walk with Him like we should. That's just the way it is. Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Take up your cross and follow me. If you don't, you cannot be my disciple. Now, let me give you 3 things that are part of taking up your cross and following him. One of them is learn to pray. God wants you to have communion with him. God wants to have communion with you. Prayer is a line between you and God that is so important, and that's one of the ways you bear your cross and walk with God. Number 2 is you read your Bible. You study this book. As newborn babies, you desire the sincere milk of the word, Peter said, that you may grow thereby. Number 2, you get in the word. And then number 3, let me tell you what you do. You go to God's house. you forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You go to God's house. Remember that. Very important now. Extremely important. Three things that's taking up your cross and following him. One is learn to pray. One is learn to read and live in your Bible. Excuse me. And one is to go and find a place to be planted in the house of God. To be planted in the house of God. Now, seven things that the Lord's Day is all about. Excuse me here. Seven things the Lord's Day is all about for our bodies to tone down and rest. For our bodies to tone down and rest. We must have this day. This is very important. You need a day that is restful. A day that you come apart from the workplace, the office, wherever you make your living, however you make your living. You don't mow your yards. You don't go to the grocery store and do your shopping. You come apart from all these normal, natural burdens that you carry 7 days a week, and you set apart your day to rest and to wait on the Lord and to seek his face. So for your body to tone down, remember that. Remember that. Doing no manual work on this day of the Lord. A day that you don't carry your burdens. You don't carry your burdens on the Lord's day. You don't carry them. You put them on the altar. You give them to God. You turn them over to the Lord. You don't spend the day trying to figure out how you're going to handle those burdens you've got for Monday and Tuesday. You turn them over to God on the Lord's day, and you rest your mind. You don't just rest the body. You rest the mind. You rest your thinking facilities. You put this mind at peace and at rest. And then it's a day to focus your heart on God. It's a day to focus your mind and your heart on God. If you just go to church, but you don't worship, and you don't focus your mind on God, you haven't kept the day sacred. Do you understand that? I want to say that again. That's beautiful. That's powerful. If you just go to church, but you don't focus on God, and you don't worship, you don't turn your minds toward heaven and begin to praise him and love him and adore him, you've still not kept the Lord's Day holy. You keep the Lord's Day holy by giving it to his glory. And for his praise and for his honor. Then it's a time to meet together with the saints of God. God has a family. Every born-again Christian is a part of a brand new heavenly family. Your name is written in the book of life. And this whole family in the book of life are a family of God's people. And they need one another. I need you. And you need me. I need my fellow members, my fellow brothers and sisters. They need me. We need each other. So it's a day that you meet together with the saints of God. Remember what the Bible said? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the Bible. So much the more. See, we live in a day that Sunday is being absolutely blasphemed. Sunday is being turned into anything anything that satisfies the old flesh. Anything that has to do with maybe making money, making wealth for yourself, or whatever. You don't give the Sabbath to that. It's a day that you give to the glory of God with his saints. And then number five is it's a time the Bible ordered for us to take a tithe and offering to the house of God. Did you know we are commanded in the Bible to bring our tithes, our money, our gifts to God's house on the Lord's day? I mean, I think that's remarkable that God is that concerned, knowing why the old nose wants to itch. God is that concerned that he loves us. Listen, now concerning the collection of the saints, or for the saints. The concerning of the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Listen, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as the Lord hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, isn't that powerful? Our gifts, our offers, our tithes, it is to be brought to the house of God on the Lord's day. Oh, isn't that beautiful? The first day of the week. Now, he wouldn't say go to church on Saturday and then bring your tithes to me on the first day of the week. He wouldn't do that. That would, well, it fits the whole pattern of the whole book of Acts and the whole New Testament. Isn't it beautiful how God orders things? And number six, the Lord's business. On Sunday is the Lord's business. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's part of the Lord's prayer. thy kingdom come. And so on the Lord's Day, on the Sunday, you keep it apart, you set it apart, you let it be a day for his praise and his glory and his honor, and God will honor you for it. Then your bodies were created on a seven-day cycle. Did you know that? That's a proven historical fact, a scientific fact. Your body was created on a seven-day cycle. Every person moves in this pattern one way or the other. You may break it, but your body will pay for it. So you are to keep the Lord's Day holy and treat it with reverence and sacredness. And then the seventh, the Lord's Day is sacred. Today, it is to treat it, today our world treats it abominably, but not us saints of God. We keep the Lord. If you're really saved, if you're really born again, you will want to keep the Lord's Day holy. Now, I've had people say to me, do I have to go to church to be saved? I said, no, you don't have to go to church to be saved. But if you get saved, you'll want to go to church. If you get saved, it'll be in your heart to go to church. And if it's not in your heart to go to church, you haven't been born again. You haven't been made a new creature. Now, not only do I say that, but Billy Graham says that. Or at least he used to say it. I presume he still does. I'm here to tell you something, friend. The Lord's Day is a sacred day. It is absolutely wonderful to think of keeping a day sacred to my Father. I mean, he's my God, and I'm one of his sons. I love him. To keep it, for him to set aside one of 7 days for his glory and for my rest, that to me shows how the heart of God is so wonderful. And could I tell you something? That anywhere on the face of this earth, there is a sense of the seventh day as being unique. Anywhere. 7 days a week is accepted by every culture and every civilization. And, you know, it's just set in concrete. Because God did it. Oh, God did it. I love that. I really do. I love it. I love it. He is wonderful to me. Let me make sure I get this thing on here. All right, you on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please? Hello, you on the air? Well, I've got somebody on the line, I think. You on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Oh, well, they're gone. When they call, please call back. I'm very sorry for that. Sometimes I miss. I thought I'd already cut that switch, but sometimes I don't. You know, there's a lot of things I do here. Now, call back. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, what a way to get ready to start the brand new year. To get in here and understand the beauty of a seventh day of rest, a seventh day of worship, a seventh day sacred. A response to the cycle in which God has built into this frame, this body of mine. And to keep the honor of that cycle, to keep the respect of that cycle, so that my body does not become jaded and depleted. Is that true? Tell me again. You know, it's so very important, so very important. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor. You were talking about the cycle, the seven-day cycle with the
yes.
Lord. This is just recent research that they did.
Yes.
And they say that, remember we always heard that we could never catch up with our sleep?
Yeah.
But they say now that if you can catch up on your sleep as long as it's within the seven-day cycle.
So you've got to catch up on your sleep within the seventh-day cycle.
Yeah, in other words, if you lose sleep, you got to catch it within 7 days.
Okay, so if you lose sleep, then it takes you 7 days to get that caught up.
No, you got to do it within 7 days.
Okay, you got to do it within 7 days. So you actually have 7 days in which to catch up your sleep. When you've lost or left sleep, like if you go on a trip and you drive all night, then you've got 7 days and you got to get that caught up.
Right, within 7 days.
You know, that shows that the body is created in a seven-day cycle. I mean, anybody that can understand that, it's really wonderful and great for you because you learn that this is a sacred body. This body did not come from a monkey. I read a little joke the other day. Let me tell you this one. And this little kid ran up to his daddy and said, "Daddy, I'm hearing in school that we came from monkeys. Can you tell me if that's the truth?" He said, "No, son, that's not the truth. Let me tell you about creation." And so the dad told the little fellow about God creating us, the book of Genesis. And the little fellow then runs a little later and goes to his mother. She's in another room, and he says, "Mother, I'm hearing this at school. Tell me, where did we come from?" And she was, you know, one of those that is into the modern world of confusion. Oh, she told him about evolution and how we all came from evolution. And the little fella came running back to his dad and said, "Daddy, you've been lying to me. You told me about creation. Mama said we came from you know, this whole evolution process." "Oh," he said, "Mama was talking about her family. I was telling you about my family."
Wow.
Now, that's just a joke. But that really emphasizes where we are. I didn't come from a monkey, and you didn't either, did you?
No. Pastor, listen to this.
Okay.
This is also recent research.
Okay.
It said that the body can work 6 days in a row. After the sixth day, the body deteriorates quickly.
You know, now, where did you find this research?
I just listened to reading. I like to read about science and stuff like that.
Okay, so you were just doing some scientific research on the seven-day cycle, and these are things you found.
Right.
Anything else?
I know, but those are the... Isn't that believable? I mean, the Lord wants you to basically rest on the seventh if possible.
Well, it is possible. You just have to make up your mind to do it. Now, there are people who work at the hospital, and if they have to take some, you know, I would say to a Christian, never accept a job that you have to work every Sunday. But if there's an emergency and you're in a job like hospital work, then be willing to do a cycle kind of thing where everybody takes turns and works then sometime on Sunday. I would respect that. I would reverence that. But anything else, I would say, my soul is more important than anything the world has, and I'm going to be in God's house on the Lord's Day normally, you know, and I'm allowing for an emergency.
Even, Pastor, even if you can't work on that for some reason, you can't work, if you have to work on Sunday,
yes,
you still have a responsibility to your body the way the Lord made you.
To take a day.
Rest on that seventh day.
Yes, you're exactly right, sir. I agree with that 100%. Thank you for calling. God bless your heart. Now, you give us a call. I want to hear from you. You are very important to us. You really are. And I want to hear from you. What do you think about the Lord's Day? Can I convince my whole audience? Everybody in Charlotte, Gastonia, all around here, Concord, everybody up in, you know, up in the other towns, Lincolnton, you know, down in Rock Hill. Oh, I think people hear me in Hickory. Listen, if you don't keep the Lord's Day, your body is going to tell on you. You're looking here right now. You're looking at an 80-year-old man. I will be 80 on January the 19th. 80 years old. Now, I don't know why that's messing up on me. 80 years old. If there's any reason that I'm 80 years old and healthy, I have trusted God with this body. I've trusted God with this body. I don't do the manual work things on the Lord's Day. Now, I preach, and that's very taxing. I preach with all I've got. But I go home and I rest, and then, you know, then I'll take some naps during the week to catch up on that, because I'm feeding the souls of God's people on the Lord's Day. And I'll bring you those sermons on the internet, by the way. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. Let's get the internet wide open here. I love to get calls off the internet. They're very important to me also. And so call me or write me, wherever you are. Here's a couple of questions here. Let's see here. Are there certain activities that you do not do on Sunday, such as shopping? What do you recommend? Hey, that's a good question. What are things that nobody that cannot keep these kind of rules and cannot honor the Sabbath in this way? You don't go shopping on the Lord's Day. You don't go buy your gas on the Lord's Day. You don't go get your oil changed on the Lord's Day. You don't mow your yard on the Lord's Day. You don't do any of the things that are really manual labor things, except, you know, if your house was flooding and there's a water speaker that's broken and it's going to flood your house, you try to get that fixed. And I would suggest to a plumber that they certainly, in an emergency, otherwise, no. You would say to a person, well, I'll come and fix your problem, but now I will have to wait till Monday because the day is the Sabbath, unless you have an emergency. If you've got a situation that your house is going to be ruined, then I'll run over there and cut the water off and help you make it. I'll do the minimal amount to make you secure, and then I'll be back Monday to fix it. See, that's the way you do those kind of things. And they're easy to do. Just make up your mind. You bring yourself to the place of being respectful and being committed to the sacredness of the Sabbath day. And then you keep it sacred. And you don't do things that are unnecessary. You don't need to shop. You shouldn't be buying your gas on Sunday. If you don't have enough responsibility to buy your gas on Saturday, you're a very irresponsible person. You really are. If you don't take care of groceries some day of the week instead of waiting till Sunday, you are irresponsible. That's what you are. And you have allowed this to develop in your life. And now you can't keep yourself in the house of God because of undisciplined lifestyle. See, get your life in order. Get yourself disciplined. Get yourself disciplined. Here's another one here. And the lines are open, by the way. Hey, I got to send you this book, The Lord's Day. I would like, boy, I don't know why the enemy hates me. Everything I go to do, he'll do something to bother me. Now, pray for that nose to quit itching, will you? Driving me nuts. Oh, boy, that don't take much, my wife would say. Hey, line one, we're glad to have your calls today. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Do you keep the Sabbath day or the first day of the week?
I keep the first day of the week, which is called the Lord's Day.
Jesus said he was Lord of the Sabbath.
And he exactly is Lord of the Sabbath, but he's not only Lord of the Sabbath, he's Lord of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thank you for calling. You certainly have a right to keep whatever day you want to. I'm going to preach the Lord's Day, and that's the day I'm going to keep. Thank you for calling. Sir, thank you for calling. Would you like to have my booklet? Maybe you would study.
I ordered that booklet.
Good. That'll help you. Thank you, sir, for calling. You are very dear to us. Now, call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. Well, 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, anybody else that has a question, I will be delighted. Here's one. What do you say to the Seventh-day Adventists who say we should worship on Saturday? Well, I don't argue with them, just like I did this man. A lot of people are still living in the Old Testament and have never moved out of the old into the new. They still live under the Old Testament laws and under the Old Testament bondages. I don't live there. I live under grace. I live under the great promises of the Lord. And then I follow the Bible. Did you know that the ark landed on the first day of the week? Did you know that Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on the first day of the week? Did you know that throughout the Old Testament, the eighth day was always the day of new beginning? New beginning. And so when we get to the New Testament, instead of living and keeping the law for the Old Testament era, we live and keep the commandments of God for the New Testament era of grace. Now, if somebody wants to keep Saturday instead of Sunday, I wouldn't argue with them. If they're truly born again and saved, they keep every Saturday as though it was their Lord's Day, I'm not going to fuss with them. And I'm not going to doubt they're saved. I'm going to leave that between them and God. I know what happened to me when I got saved. I'd never, never kept the Lord's Day holy. And immediately, my heart was set on it. I fell in love with it. Nobody had to tell me. It just came in my heart. It just got a hold of me. I'm telling you, it got a hold of me. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, I thank you for your teaching today. It fills me with joy. I want to tell you a story of repentance real quick. It'll be short.
Okay.
After church, I would go out to lunch with the people of God. And I have a heart for evangelism. So as I was at this restaurant, I was speaking to the manager, telling him about Christ and how he should, you know, close his restaurant and come to church on Sunday. After I left the restaurant, I was convicted, saying, here you are, you hypocrite. You're telling him to close his restaurant on Sunday, and you're going to have lunch on Sunday? And so I repented, I changed my mind, I no longer go out to lunch on Sundays.
And you know, the same thing happened to me. I was sitting in a Hardee's, and just sitting there, just minding my own business, worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, that I should start keeping the Lord's Day holy. And I immediately said, Lord, this is you. You got a hold, and it really got a hold of me. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I immediately began. And then I began to talk about that. Oh, you won't believe how many people say, oh, we should keep all 10 of the commandments except the fourth one. We don't have to keep the Lord's Day holy. I said, where did you get that from? Where did you get that from? And they never could tell me. Well, I believe as you, that for me to condemn a man for running his restaurant on Sunday would be hypocritical if I'm one of the ones going there to eat. The Bible said if you bid somebody Godspeed when they're breaking God's commandment, you are partakers of their deeds. A person who goes out to a restaurant on Sunday is just as guilty of working on Sunday as those people back there in the kitchen. Thank you. Are you there?
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you. Call us quickly. Hey, if you disagree with me, you're welcome. I don't mind you calling. I treated the man nice who disagreed with me. But, you know, I there's always going to be somebody who lives still in the Old Testament era. I don't live under the Old Testament laws. I live under the New Testament grace. Now, I live by the commandments of God, whatever they are, from Genesis to Revelation. But I don't live under the law. I don't do sacrifices. I can eat pork. Because they couldn't eat pork, you know, in the Old Testament, but we can eat pork now because Paul took care of that. He said everything we eat is clean if it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Nothing is unclean of itself was his exact words. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now in case you join me a little later while you're calling, please, I want to give you this booklet. I really do. It'll be really nice. It'll be quite big, and it's good information. And when you read it, it will answer these questions for you in unforgettable terms. I promise you, it will answer these questions in unforgettable terms. It really will. Now, thank you so much for calling today. Again, I want to tell you that any calls that come on a cell phone that does not give our secretaries the number that's calling, they will tell you that they'll take your number and they'll call you back and then they'll put you in with me. We've been having somebody very devious that is just determined to do damage. And this particular person would call 3 or 4 times in any broadcast. He would never listen to the answers. All he wanted to do was get his little word in how wrong I was. And we're trying to be kind, and we're trying to do it in a nice way, okay? And again, I had someone to call last week that interrupted the phone system by some kind of mechanism. And we don't know how that, and my people are researching it right now. And when we find it, we will find the number and we will take action, because you can't do things like that to this kind of operation. Okay. We care about you. You are important to us. Now call quickly. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, and then email jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, want some more? I love to get some emails. That kind of gives me some fill-in between my phone calls, and they're easy for me because I can read them right here. So send your questions by email, jrc@paulcreek.org. If you're a faithful listener, help out. Be a part of getting the right truth to people. Your questions help me answer what you are thinking and not just what I'm thinking. See, that's very important to me because you are important to us. Now, you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, brother, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good, good. I live in York, and I have to drive to church all the way to Belmont on Sunday. And I don't think it'd be wrong for me to do that, do you?
You live in York.
Yes.
And you drive, do you go there to go to church?
Yes, sir.
Of course it's not wrong. We don't live in that kind of restriction like the Jewish economy. They could only travel a certain distance on Sunday. If you drive a truck instead of a car, I like a car better than a truck, but my wife likes a truck better than a car. So you just go to church. And you know what I tell people when they say, man, do I love to come to that church. But it's a drive for me. I said, the church alive is worth the drive.
Hey, man, we go and worship. We don't go and just sit down. We go to worship,
you know. All right, so you go to worship. Well, you were trying to play a game on me, though, because you drive a truck to Gastonia on Sunday. But I caught you, didn't I?
Well, I have to drive up here to church, you know.
All right, that's just exactly okay. Thank you for calling. You're my friend. Okay, grab your phone. Whoever's out there want to hear from you. You are important, okay? Hey. This is a great subject, keeping the Lord's Day sacred. Keeping the Lord's Day sacred. I want you to understand, I'm talking about keeping it sacred. I'm talking about keeping it sacred to where you literally are enjoying the Lord on His day. And you are set apart for His glory. And you live in this Bible. Oh, you can spend the afternoon. I take a nap for an hour at least. I love my Sunday afternoon nap. I'm telling you. If I got company, I go in there and say, hey, forgive me, I'm closing the door. I'm going to take a nap. And I take a nap anyway. I really do. I love my nap on the Lord's Day. But the rest of the day is spent worshiping, reading, praying, preparing a message, just bringing the truth to my people. Oh, I do love it. I do love it. And we do have wonderful church. And we are located, by the way, at 5110 Tuckasegee Road, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. 5110 Tuckasegee Road, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And you'll find worship that's real. And we preach this wonderful truth. This Bible is so breathtaking. Now, again, if you haven't ordered this booklet on this subject, the Lord's Day, I hope you'll grab your phone, and our ladies are waiting. I know the lines have been ringing quite ferociously, and I'm delighted. Grab the line, 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-33-TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, 1-800-33-TRUTH, 337-884. Okay, grab a phone quickly and call us, 1-800-338-7884, and local number 704-391-0588. Email me, jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. I do appreciate all of my email, let me say it right here, my listeners on the internet. Hey, let me tell you, if you listen on the internet, you can watch me on the internet, not just listen. Now, radio, you can't watch me, okay? You just have to listen. So you can choose. And if your radio station is out one Saturday, go in there to your internet and just put it on paulcreek.org. Paulcreek.org. And when you get on the front page, you'll see an icon over on your right. And it's the Open Bible Dialogue. You click on that, and I'll be on your screen in just seconds. Right there looking at you and talking to you and sharing the glorious truth of God with you. By the way, did you have a wonderful Christmas? Man, did we have a great Christmas. My whole family. I've got 3 children and 6 grandchildren, and 5 of the grandchildren are married. Got 1 great grandchild, lovely little fella. Oh, he's precious. He is absolutely precious. I'm telling you. And they were all there, but 1 granddaughter couldn't make it, her and her husband. Maybe she was sick. I don't know. But it was a wonderful day, and I am grateful. And I want to tell you, folks, your family is the most important people in your physical life, your earthly life, your family. Love them with all of your heart. Now, the lines are open, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, call me quickly, very quickly, because I don't want to waste another minute. We have 18 minutes, and I want every one of them to count, so grab your phone. And those of you who've been keeping the Lord's Day for many years, I'd like to have 3 or 4 calls telling me what it's meant to you, how sacred the day feels to you, how you love being in the house of God, how you love this day that you don't carry the burdens of the week. Listen to me. Now, I think this is important. If you've got something that's really hanging over you, a huge burden, you've got a problem you got to solve next week, you've got something important you got to take care of, don't you carry that on the Lord's Day. You put that on the altar on the very Lord's Day morning. I mean, you get up, you find your place to pray, and Lord, I've got some burdens this week, and they're troubling me. I'm turning them over to you. And name them one by one. Lord, this is yours. Lord, I'm giving this over to you. Lord, I'm giving this over to you. And when you finish, in the name of Jesus, I've committed my burdens to you, Lord. Now, I'm going to spend my day worshiping and praising and singing. Hallelujah. When you walk into the church in the morning, walk in singing. I challenge you to do that. Scare your preacher to death, will you? Come in the back door singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Oh, I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. Now I feel him in my soul. Or you know, whatever you want to sing, How Great Thou Art. Just come in singing, friend. I'm telling you, it'll make your day. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I called earlier, but I had another question here.
Well, now, you do know that everybody is to call one time. If you have two questions, you ask them the one time you call. I'm going to give you a break this time, okay?
Best on, and what day did God bless?
You know, you are looking for an argument, and you're the same guy that's been doing that for three or four. We're going to cut you off, and I'm telling them to take your number, and we're not going to let you call again, okay? You're just out to disturb. Now, quit it. Quit it. God's not pleased with it. Now, that's very important. I hope that man heard me. I doubt he did. He's not the kind that listens. He's the kind that does all the talking. Nothing is going to be said, you know? There's some of them. Did you know? There's some of them. God help us not to be like that. Be open. To learn. I want to learn, don't you? I want my life to be full of learning. I want truths of God to get a hold of me and bless my life. Ladies, make sure you take that number, and we'll just block that from now on. My telephone person is helping me figure out this new system of ours. How if we have somebody who just wants to argue, we block them out, okay? So that we can have a meaningful conversation all over the world. You understand? We've got listeners in Australia and New Zealand and up in Russia and the Ukraine and down in the nations of Europe and down in South Africa, in South America, up in Canada. We must keep these lines pure. We must keep the calls sacred, and we must help people learn so that they can learn and grow and mature in the things of our blessed Lord. There is nothing. There is nothing as wonderful as growing in the name of our blessed Lord. Now grab your phone if you're out there and you have a good and you have a good question and you have a positive reason to call, okay? You have a positive reason. You really want to learn. You really want to learn. If you've made up your mind and Saturday's your day and you're going to worship on Saturday and anybody else is just crazy, that's we're not going to condemn you. But we're not going to let you argue with us. We're just going to go on to keep this positive. I'm here to teach. I'm here to teach the truth of God. I know what John meant when he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And I know that throughout the book of Acts, it was the first day of the week that they reverenced as the Lord's Day. I can show you how each time Jesus met with them to worship, and it was described that it was on the Lord's Day. It was on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the new beginning. Hey, when I got saved, I started a new beginning. I hope you did. I started a brand new beginning. Now, my lines are open, and I want you to call. Grab your phone real quick, will you? 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then remember the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, we got some emails. Brother Chambers. I remember in the 40s and 50s when the usual practice of stores in Charlotte was that they were closed on Sunday. You may remember. Yes, I do. I'm 80, you know. We'll be in a few days. That J.P. Ivey of the old Ivey's department store would lower his curtains over the display windows of the store. Not only do we keep the store closed, he did not want people walking down Tryon Street to even think about commerce. I really have some good memories of those days. Isn't that wonderful? Ivy Stowa, you know the name, and John Belk was the same way. John Belk was dedicated. Do you know what? John Belk, I've got his history, and in his history, when he started building the Belk Stowas, every time he would start a new Stowa, he would build a Methodist church. And that's when the Methodist church was on fire, folks. I mean, they had the fire of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just dead like it is in most of them today. They had the fire, and John Belk would build a Methodist store every time. And I was listening to Billy Graham preach that sermon in 1958, and he was telling about a great stockman. What in the world? I'm trying to remember that name. Oh, one of the noted stockbrokers, a very wealthy man, and he was a great devoted servant of God, and he lifted up Jesus in everything he did. Hey, that's how they used to do it before they backslid. And before you backslid, you used to do it, right? You used to keep the Lord's Day holy, but you backslid. Oh, you say, I'm not backslid. I just don't live like I used to live. No, you backslid. You may not be all the way backslid, but you're certainly on your way. Because if you are a servant of God, you're going to keep a day for Him and His glory. I really believe that. Hey, love me. Don't be mad at me. Come on. Call us quickly. We got lines open. 704. Listen, I want some more calls. 10, 12 minutes. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. In Canada, you can call that number. Won't cost you a thing. Call me quickly, 1-800-338-7884. Anywhere in the world. If you know the code to get out of your country, when you get into America, all you got to dial is 704-391-0588, and you'll wind up right here on my phone, and I will love talking to you, I promise you. Now, keep calling. I want to give this booklet to 1,000 people this week, the Lord's Day. Wouldn't that be something? If I could get 1,000 people to really start keeping the Lord's Day holy, it would bless this city. It would bless Charlotte. It would bless your city. It would bless your church. And who knows, you may get somebody else doing the same with you, and we'll start a revival of the Lord's Day. Wouldn't that be something wonderful? Start a revival of the Lord's Day. You on the air. May I help you, please?
I'm going to tell you something you probably don't know anything about. The Cone family started in eastern Tennessee.
Which family now?
The Cone family, and they went back to Maryland. They were Orthodox Jews. They came back to South again, and they established in Greensboro and that surrounding area to help move the American textile industry from New England to the South. Moses Cone, an Orthodox...
Oh, okay, the Cone. I didn't get that name. Gotcha.
Moses Cone, the hospital in Greensboro is named after him.
Yes.
He built a church for my grandfather, who was a Methodist preacher, and he did build numerous churches. Can you believe that? How many Jews have been responsible for the spread of the gospel throughout the United States?
Well, you know, have you ever been to the Combs that stayed up on Blue Ridge Parkway? That great house he built for his wife that loved the mountains?
Yeah.
Have you ever been there?
Yes, I have. I've been right in there.
That's a beautiful place.
He was. They said he was the most honest man that ever lived.
How about that? Listen, let me tell you. Judeo-Christian traditions made America great. Judeo-Christian. That means Jewish ideas blended together with New Testament ideas. The Old and New Testament, or the First and Second Testament. That's what made this nation great. And without it, we're going to hell in a hurry.
How many Jews secretly and privately in their hearts accepted Yeshua as their Messiah?
Probably many of them, friend. Probably many of them. Thank you for calling. You are my dear friend, and I love your calls, and you on the air. May I help you, please?
Mr. Chambers, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful.
Listen, you know, I've been listening to your program for quite a while, and I've heard some of these here people on there giving you kind of a hard time. What is it they don't understand about the Bible? Are they still walking in darkness?
Well, I have to leave that with God, but when they are aggravating and when they are just trying to disturb, it's an evident sign they don't have a heart that's right with God. Well, you know a tree by the fruit it bears. And this old man, I don't know who he is, it's been about 4 or 5 weeks now that he has tried his best to disturb everything. We have his number now, and so by next Sunday, he won't even be able to call.
What I want to put to you this year, mister, is if people don't believe it's wrong to do things on Sunday, well, why did they get saved for? And then you just want to tear out 2 Corinthians 5:17. Why don't you just tear it out and throw it away?
Well, when you get right with God, you don't have to go to church to get right with God. But when you do get right with God, you'll want to go to church. You'll fall in love with it. I love the house of God. Man, I love to go there in the middle of the week and just pile myself in that altar and just stay there and wait on God.
I don't serve him on Sunday. I serve him every day of the week.
Good. Thank you, sir. You're precious, okay? You are precious. Call us quickly now. Everybody out there, you got 7 minutes, 704-391-0588. This has been a good program. This has been a good program. And we put a hush, of course, to this noisiness. It had a little of it, but not much. And we're moving ahead of it. The enemy has tried to fight this program. I have been amazed since I've been on the video, since we've been doing telecasting along with broadcasting. We streamed the audio for years all over the world. But now we stream the video all over the world. It really is a wonderful thing. And we are blessing so many people. I hear from people everywhere. It's amazing to me sometimes how many texts I get. You know, I'm on the Facebook now, nearly 4,000 in just about 4 or 5 months of friends and nearly 1,000 followers. And they're listening to the gospel. I'm waiting on a Holy Ghost revival, friends. That's what I'm praying for. And I'm dedicated to it. Why are you continuing at 80? Because I'm in the business of the Lord. And you know, it was a great. Isaiah asked the Lord, how long, Lord, do you want me to do this? And he said, until the land is wasted without inhabitants. That's when I'm going to quit. When the land is wasted without inhabitants. When there's nobody to preach to. When there's, oh boy, I love him. Don't you? Hey, keep calling now. The ladies will stay here as long as you will call and let them send you a copy of this article, The Lord's Day. Everybody needs to read it. I'm telling you, everybody, you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Pastor, I just had a quick question for you, and then I'll take it off the air.
No, I want to give it to you on the air because you can respond then. Go ahead.
I'm just going to ask you to put on your Hank Hendegraaff hat for a second.
My Hendegraaff hat. Okay, go ahead quickly.
I was reading in Corinthians 11 this morning. It says that God's the head of the church, and God's head of man, and man's head of the woman. But there was a verse. I think it was It was 6 or 7 in 11, and it said that women, when they pray, should pray with a covering or a veil, and I just don't ever remember coming across that scripture, and obviously women pray without a veil or a...
Well, let me give you the answer. The woman's long hair is her veil. A woman is to have long hair. I believe that's a biblical commandment. A man is not to wear hair like a woman. A woman is not to wear her hair like a man. That's a biblical commandment, and that's what this chapter, those words you're talking about, is all about, is teaching the women to be women and teaching men to be men. Men, the reason we've got so much homosexuality and lesbianism and now the transgender step is because men and women have left off being men and women. Women don't dress like women anymore. They want to dress like a man. They want to be able to wallow around and throw their legs anyway, and they have no sense of their sacredness, and they've lost it. And that's what he's talking about.
Just so I'm clear, and I do see that portion of it, but just so I'm... So, the veil is not important, because obviously...
The hair is the veil. Long hair is the veil. A woman's long hair is her glory.
It's her covering.
It's her covering, right. The man is not to have his hair all over his head. A man should never wear his hair like a woman. When you see a man with his hair like a woman, you know he doesn't know anything about the Bible.
Right. No, and I see that. But, you know, so many people during the biblical days, guys, and I don't wear my hair long, don't get me wrong, but so many fellows in court in Christ was...
Well, Jesus did not have long hair. That's nothing but somebody's rendering. I would never put that picture anywhere in my life. Jesus did not have long hair like a woman. He had a beard, but he looked like a man.
Right.
See, that there's no Bible for putting long hair on Jesus. That just gets the world ready to accept the Antichrist, because he's probably going to look like some of those paintings.
Right. And there's absolutely zero spirit of debate, so you understand. It was just a question.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you asked it. I love to answer those kind of questions. I'm an old-fashioned man who believes the whole Bible is the literal and perfect Word of God. And so 1 Corinthians 11, I tell any lady out there, read that and then live by it, and your life will be enhanced by it.
Well, you know, it was like a fellow I was speaking with said, you know, it's just hard for me to believe that a man was in a vicious... You know what, if you can believe one miracle of God, if you can believe one, then certainly you can believe them all, because in my mind, one's not greater than the other.
And if you can believe one commandment of God, you can believe them all, because one's not greater than the other. Same thing.
Pastor, you have a blessed day. I hope to see you in church soon.
Okay, I hope to see you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. I think they gave me a call, and I don't remember where it was. You on the air. May I help you, please? Is anybody there waiting on me?
Thank you, but you're precious. You tell everybody else they're precious.
Say that again?
You tell so many people they're precious, but I wanted to tell you you're precious to us.
Hey, that's nice to have a call like that today. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Hey, friends, I want to tell all of you out there, you're precious. I try to tell everybody they're precious, because to me they are. I love people. I love those who disagree and those who agree. I love them all, one as much as the other. Hey, this has been a great program. It really has. I hope I kept that song where it was. I'm not really sure I did. Sometimes I can't keep up with me. But I want to tell you are wonderful to me. I'm so glad you're part of this program. Let me give you now our phone numbers. You call us 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704. 391-0588, jrc@paulcreek.org. We'd love to have your request for this booklet. We'll send it to you if you ask for it by email or by phone. The ladies will stay here as long as the phone rings. I love you. You are precious to me. You really are. And God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
I claimed him that day as my Savior.